Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The 389th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! Oh, way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court, Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to hit. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh and Anthony hanging out with you live on a Sunday night. And that's because there was some news in the Carolina basketball world and some positive news coming out of the transfer portal as Carolina lands their first transfer portal commit of the offseason in the form of Cade Tyson from Belmont. We're here to talk about that. We're here to talk about what he'll bring to Carolina and how his arrival will impact the rest of the way that Carolina builds their roster throughout the portal in the remainder of the offseason. Some other portal news as well. Carolina missed on another target yesterday. Of course, they were hosting another transfer over the weekend. We'll talk about that as well. But we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. And we go to, it's going to sound weird saying this, former Tar Heel, Armando Bacot, and his pod thought is, quote, "If you don't want to commit to UNC, don't visit, because if you do, you will." And I think that really sums up the Cade Tyson commitment for Carolina. I don't know if we said it on here, but, you know, I thought once he visited Chapel Hill, he was going to leave with the commitment. Didn't happen necessarily. That commitment comes a week later, but I felt confident all along about once Carolina got him on campus, he would end up being a Tar Heel. And this is something that if you look at Hubert Davis's short tenure as Carolina's head coach, when you look at some of the top transfer portal targets that they've gone after, if they get them to Carolina, a lot of times they commit to Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, as weird as it was, Brady Manick never visited Carolina, but, you know, that was a guy that they were able to get here. You know, Cormac Ryan, I mean, Cormac said throughout the entire year as a member of the team that he pretty much committed within 3 hours of being on the spot. We know how important it was when Harrison Ingram, you know, was involved in his transfer portal recruitment as well. And so I think it speaks volumes about the way that Carolina is doing their recruiting, because they're going after, you know, big-time targets. And it feels like more often than not, when those big-time targets take the time to visit Chapel Hill, they like what they see, and they usually end up being a Tar Heel when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think at this point that they've kind of got it down to a science. They know the guys that they want to go after, And when they get them on campus, usually it is the last visit that a lot of these guys take. And that really is where they're able to sort of, I guess, figure out what other teams have done and help present to these guys why they can do things a little bit better. And I think now, with Cade Tyson, I mean, I think a lot of people were getting worried. And this is the best thing about this. This shows you again why you should not be concerned and why you should trust this coaching staff. Because so many people were starting to get concerned about the fact that we hadn't heard anything from him just yet. Guys, this is something that could have been done last week when he was on campus. He could have committed to them, but ultimately he wanted to wait until this specific day, or, you know, there are certain things that guys want to wait on in order to make their decision. And so I think that, you know, this was something that probably was coming down sooner, rather than later, and people were starting to get panicked. And I think the whole time we should have just been saying to ourselves, this is one that they probably have locked up. And, you know, that hopefully they're working on some of the other guys. It's just a relief that this is now public and that Carolina finally has that first piece to this recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it, there was some of the decisions that came down the pipe since the time he was on campus for his visit up till his commitment. Harrison Ingram decided to go pro. Seth Trimble withdrew from the transfer portal. And then you have the CBS Sports report about R.J. Davis coming back for next year, which he still hasn't, you know, confirmed. But last night was the deadline to get into the NBA draft. They didn't submit his name for it. So unless RJ is just retiring from college basketball, which I don't think is
portal deadline is May 1st. So that's always a possibility too. That's why I saw somebody put this out earlier today that said, I saw it this morning, but it was put out yesterday. That at the end of the night, that's when the NBA draft deadline, that means that he's coming back if he doesn't declare. And that, look, that's the thing, right? He could step away from basketball ultimately if he feels like he's accomplished everything that he wants to. And he could also enter the transfer portal. But yeah, I think, and that's probably part of what played into Cade Tyson's thing. He was probably trying to give as much room to RJ to be able to announce his decision, because I mean he's a transfer, you know, commit. He's a guy that, you know, doesn't even know if he's going to end up being teammates with RJ Davis. I don't think they have a lot of contact probably. So, I mean, he doesn't know the exact schedule that RJ's thinking. So he was probably trying to give him, you know, an opportunity to announce and not take up a day where maybe RJ wanted to reveal his decision. And maybe he just got to a point and was like, look, man, it's been a week. I got to make this announcement.
Yeah, and look, I mean, technically, could it happen that RJ Davis transfers? Yes. It's not going to happen. And quite frankly, if it does happen, this podcast would go away. I'd be too heartbroken to get on here and talk about Carolina basketball after one of my favorite all-time Tar Heels were to transfer away from the program. But Carolina did get the commitment of Cade Tyson earlier today. This is a guy that, you know, has put up a lot of productive numbers and numbers that should excite Carolina fans. This past season, averaged 16.2 points, 5.9 rebounds per game, while shooting 49% from the field, 46.5% from three, the second best mark in the country. Also an 85% free throw shooter. So you're talking about a effective scorer that does so efficiently. He was the Missouri Valley Conference Rookie of the Year, was a Missouri Valley Conference All-Freshman, was on the All-Missouri Valley Conference team this past season while playing for Belmont. Like, you're talking about a dude that in his two short seasons has played and played at a high level. And, yes, you know, it's worth mentioning it's at the Group of Five level, but Belmont is one of the better, more consistent, you know, Group of Five or non-power conference schools in the country. And that's a program that consistently competes. And that's what they've done the last 2 years with him in the fold. And, you know, I think we knew the one thing Carolina had to add to this roster going into next year, with or without RJ Davis, was perimeter shooting. And they've done that in the biggest way possible, because even when you added Cormac Ryan a year ago, you're talking about a guy that could shoot 40%, but his career numbers were, you know, 35%. When you added Brady Manek, you knew that he could shoot 38, 39%, but it wasn't there consistently during his time at Oklahoma. It's only 2 years, but 2 years of production at Belmont tells you that Kate Tyson's going to score the ball, and he's going to score the ball efficiently. And, you know, when you look at it on paper, that's a significant upgrade from what Carolina had last year at that three spot, which is where I think he'll ultimately slide in, because Cormac was a streaky shooter. When he was hot, he was hot. But for the most part, this was a guy that averaged double-figure scoring while shooting in the low 30%. You can have a guy averaging 14, 15 points while shooting nearly 50% from the field and over 40% from three, which is going to make the game easier for RJ and the other guys on the floor that'll be surrounded by Kate Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if I would go quite as far as to say that right now I can guarantee you that he's better. I don't – because it is going to be a transition. And the thing is that the reason why you can be more confident than you were in, let's say, a guy like Paxson Wojcik, is because the Missouri Valley Conference might be the best group of five conference or mid-major conference. I mean, I guess you would consider the American Conference a mid-major conference, but that's pretty close to being a major conference at this point. The Missouri Valley isn't far behind that, though. And both years, Belmont was over 500 in the conference, was competing for one of the top four spots in that conference. And so I definitely think that this is, you know, a guy that can come in here and have an effect. One of the things we talked about is this is probably one of the easier type of players to transition, because – when you can shoot the ball, especially when you shoot the ball at the level that he is, which is better than, you know, at or better than 42% from beyond the arc in each season, it's shooting is going to translate. We're not really that concerned about that. The other areas are probably the areas that you're a little bit more concerned about, which is how he'll hold up physically, what he'll be able to do on the defensive end of the floor. But, I mean, the thing is that I think if he can come in and shoot a high percentage from beyond the arc, that would help Carolina a lot. And here's the thing. Even if that's the only area that he's able to affect the game for Carolina, they got a guy in Drake Powell that they really like, that they think is going to come on quick when he gets into Chapel Hill, and that he'll be playing a pretty big role for Carolina at that three spot throughout this year. So if you can have a guy that, you know, maybe is that aggressive scorer on the wing in Powell, and the guy that sort of specializes in knocking down outside shots in Tyson, who also, by the way, can play the four at times if you do want to go a little bit smaller, because, I mean, this is a guy that averaged right at 6 rebounds per game this past year. I think this is a guy that gives you a little bit more versatility than you probably realize. But the main thing that it gives you is that perimeter shooter that I think Carolina was hoping that they were going to get in Cormac Ryan. But I think it was more we didn't look really in depth at how his career had progressed. He was solid. He shot around 37% for his career, which is still really solid. But this is a guy that is an elite outside shooter, and that could really take Carolina to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things you got to like about him is, you know, there is size coming with him. You know, he's 6'7", 200 pounds. So I think he'll have to adjust to the physicality and the talent that he'll see night in, night out in the ACC. The body and the frame suggests that he is going to be more than capable of holding his own. If he was 6'5", 185, I think you would be okay to be somewhat concerned about how the body holds up over the course of, you know, 35, hopefully 40 games this year, playing the competition that Carolina will play in the non-con and then in the ACC. but at 6'7", 200 pounds, you know, even if he adds on 5 to 10 pounds of muscle, you know, I think you really then look at a guy that will be able to more than hold his own at the three. I think one thing you like about him is there is positional flexibility where you can move him down to that four spot if you want to get a guy like Drake Powell on the floor. And, you know, with the way that Harrison Ingram performed as a rebounder, despite being undersized at the four, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think Cade Tyson replicates that production, because a lot of Ingram's rebounding was just because of his energy and his effort. But I think we saw, you know, last year that Hubert was able to get his guys to buy into that area of the game, because that was a poor rebounding team the first month and a half of the season. By the time we got to the tournament, they were the best rebounding team in the league and a top 10 rebounding team nationally. And so, you know, yes, he's being brought here to put the ball in the basket, and he's going to do that. But I do think that he can do other things in a lot of different ways, or in a lot of, you know, with the way he can rebound. Is he going to be the connector that Ingram or Ryan were? We don't know. Is he going to be the leader that either of those two guys are? We don't know. But, you know, I mean, outside of a big, and which Carolina is still looking to address, this to me was the big prize for Carolina in the transfer portal. You're talking about a kid that has, you know, is a local kid, you know, grew up, you know, in the Monroe Matthews area, played at a Carmel Christian High School, you know, roughly 2 hours away from Chapel Hill. You know, his brother played at Clemson. I would imagine that he probably grew up wanting to maybe play in the ACC. And I would imagine either at Duke or Carolina, just given where, you know, he grew up at. And so Carolina's able to get that type of kid in their program. So when you look at this, with it being the first transfer portal commit, it's obviously the biggest so far. But, you know, I was in the camp that if Carolina didn't land him, it would have been okay to be upset about the lack of success that they would have ended up having in the portal. I still feel pretty confident they're going to get a big, whether it's their top two choices or not. They're going to add someone to that front court. Mm-hmm. I feel confident about Adu Thiera, but – this is a guy that I think is as important as anybody, because he brings much-needed perimeter shooting and positional flexibility to an offense that's looking to take a step forward in 2024-2025.
Well, I said the other day that I thought that this was probably the least important of the three. I think you had to get a big man, and you still have to. You have to probably get someone to replace what Harrison Ingram brought. You kind of need a guy that can be that stretch defender, that wing defender. But I do think that this is a big part of it as well, because for RJ Davis, there was a lot of pressure on him last year when Cormac Ryan was struggling to carry this team from beyond the arc. And that's fine. He's going to be able to create those open looks from the outside. There's no question about that. But you want to sort of help him out in that area. Don't put all the pressure on him from beyond the arc. And the thing is that there are some, you know, there's a couple of guys coming in that certainly could help you there, and Ian Jackson and Drake Powell, but that's a lot to put on freshmen for them to come in and be the guys that are your perimeter threats from the outside. It's possible, but I think a great example of that is a guy who we'll talk about here a little bit later that Carolina was looking at in the portal, in Andre Stojakovic, guy that came out of high school, was an outstanding three-point shooter, and because Stanford was really expecting him to really shine in that area and carry them there, you saw him struggle, and that was a part of the reason why their team struggled as a whole. That you don't want to put that much on Ian Jackson and Drake Powell. I think that you could certainly see better shooting years from Elliot Cadell and Seth Trimble, but I just don't know if they're guys that can consistently knock down shots from the outside. This is a guy that specializes in that. But the other thing to take note of here is that this is a guy that last year and even the year before, he had to be their offense. So he's not just a guy that can score it from beyond the arc. Yeah, that's where he shines. That's where, you know, he finished third in the country this year in three-point shooting percentage. But I mean, this is a guy that also can put the ball on the floor, can get to the basket. He can do some of the things that we really liked about Cormac Ryan's game that we probably didn't see enough of at times. I mean, we were begging him at times throughout this past year that, hey, when you're struggling from the outside, put the ball on the floor and drive it. Now, Cade Tyson, I think, is a little bit different because he's a guy that even if he is struggling from beyond the arc, he's a guy that just shoots it so well that you still feel like he's going to have to continue to take shots from out there. But don't get it wrong and think this is a guy that, you know, is similar to, let's say, Jack Golke, where he's going to take eight threes in an entire eight twos in an entire season. No, this is a guy that can score at multiple levels, but really shines in one particular area. And it's an area that, as you said, I think can really take Carolina over the top this year because they just didn't have enough of it this past season.
Yeah, no, I think, and look, Ingram shot 39% from behind the three-point line. It's a big reason why I think, you know, his draft stock kind of grew as the season moved along. But it wasn't consistent. Like, there were some games where he was a non-factor from behind the three-point line just in terms of attempts. Mm-hmm. Like, there were just some games where Ingram, because and some of it was matchups, where he lived inside the paint, which – when it was working, okay, you're not going to complain Carolina's winning. But it put all the pressure on R.J. Davis's shoulders to carry the offense from the perimeter. And with Ryan being so inconsistent from behind the arc at times last season, that's not going to be the case with Cade Tyson. You're not going to go stretches where he's not taking. You know, he averaged 5.5 threes per game last year. Mm-hmm. But I think that number probably goes down a bit. Yeah, because he's going to be playing with better talent. He's not going to be Carolina's first option.
But I would disagree with that, though, because, I mean, Cormac Ryan this past year, I mean, I saw it the other day. I think it was like 230-something that he took, 212 this year. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's in the same neighborhood that he was in this year, maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it, I don't think Cormac was as good inside the three-point line as Tyson. Tyson's bigger, had that mid-range game, I think, a lot more effective. He's stronger, can put the ball on the floor, get to the rim. But what I'm saying is I don't want to see a massive decline in production. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I think the production drops because you're playing with R.J. Davis. You're playing with a big man that's going to demand the ball on the interior. Like, he should still shoot north of 3.5 threes per game going into next year, which I think would just do wonders for Carolina's offense because it's going to make it harder to defend R.J. Davis on the perimeter. So there's just a lot to be excited about with Cade Tyson. With that being said, we know how all-in Carolina is on adding a front-court player. Are you surprised that they got a wing before they got the front-court player? Because even though they got involved with Tyson before, you know, one of the bigs, I mean, it was a full-court press for, you know, just to get a big man, to fill the void left behind by Armando Bacot. So not surprised that Tyson's here, but are you surprised that Tyson – lands in Carolina before a Clifford Amore, Jonas Adu, a big man that Carolina is desperately in search of?
No, because when you saw that Cade Tyson was taking two visits and that was it, you knew that his decision was going to be quick. I mean, we thought it'd be earlier than this. So, like, I just, like, to me, this isn't shocking at all. Also, as you mentioned, Carolina got involved with him earlier than the other guys. This was Carolina's first target in the portal. This was the guy they wanted. They immediately, when they were looking, they knew, okay, this is our first guy that we know we really want to go after. He fits everything that we need. He probably fit academically. And they made it known that they were going after him. Tennessee also made it known. And so his recruitment progressed pretty quickly. And I think for him, he was only, you know, he was considering the two spots, Tennessee, because that, you know, he's playing out there at Belmont. and Carolina because it was coming back home. And so for him, I think it was going to be a quick recruitment. And, you know, once he didn't commit to Tennessee on his visit and Hubert Davis went out there, I think it was pretty well known that he was going to be Carolina's first commit. From his aspect of just his recruitment, it's not shocking that it happened as quickly as it did. From the big man perspective, the thing is you look at these guys, and I mean, Adu's got multiple big name teams that are on him, big NIL collectives like Baylor that are going after him. Clifford Amori, I mean, when he visits Carolina next week, he's scheduled to visit Thursday. That'll be his fourth visit. He's visited Georgetown. He's visited Kansas State. He visited Alabama over the weekend. So, I mean, there's multiple schools that are in the running. I mean, that's the difference, I think, when it comes to Tyson and these big men. And that's why it's taking a little bit longer. It's not because Carolina is failing with these guys. It's that there's a lot of NIL money that some of these schools are willing to offer. Carolina is not willing to match in that area because they, again, as we've talked about so many times over since the NIL era began, when it comes to transfer guys, when it comes to high school recruits, Carolina is looking for guys that want to be here because they want to compete for championships, because they want to be a part of this university, not because they want the bag dropped off at their house. So I think that's the thing, is that Carolina is working through a group of guys that are incredibly talented. They're trying to find the guys that are committed to, you know, being at Carolina and wanting to win at a high level. And that's why I think it's taken them so long to get a big man. So I would expect here, though, we're starting to get down towards the end of the visits that Adu has to take, or, you know, I would imagine, I don't know, maybe there is another school for Amori. I think, you know, St. John's, it was rumored early, was in the running. I don't think they're in the hunt anymore. So I think really once he visits Carolina, you'll probably get a decision from him soon. So I don't think people will be holding their breath too much longer on the big man.
Yeah, and look, I think it's funny how the transfer portal process works. When Amori entered the portal, I mean, it was like multiple legitimate college basketball reporters. He's going to St. John's. At worst case scenario, he's going to Seton Hall. He's not leaving the tri-state area. And now that's very much in the fold. Greg Ward comments, so do we go after a power forward and a center or just a center? I feel like we need both for sure. I think Carolina is going to go all out to add Adu Thierro and either Jonas Adu or Clifford Amori. You know, the word power forward, I think you got to look at, they're going to find a four man because you got, you know, they label the positions by numbers.
Yeah, those are old terms nowadays.
It doesn't mean that he's going to be a power forward in nature or in what you imagine or envision a power forward looking like. Thierro can do a lot of the same things that, from a physicality standpoint, that Harrison Ingram could do. I don't think he's the offensive player that Ingram was, but, you know, you could see a second year, in college basketball, he takes a step forward in that area. So I think this was the first of hopefully three guys Carolina looks to add in the portal. I can't sit here and promise that they're gonna add both. I think if they miss out on one, it would be a quote unquote power forward. But I just feel like Carolina is gonna go all out for Thierro. The whole staff was in Lexington, Kentucky last week. That tells you what they feel about him and how important they think he could be for next season. And we've said it 1,000 times this offseason. Carolina's going to add a big man. It's just a matter of how high profile of big man they add. So hopefully this is the first piece Carolina looks to add. And I know there's a long way to go, but if Carolina adds a Thierro and they get the big man that they're wanting, I find it hard-pressed with you returning the ACC Player of the Year for a team to enter next season outside of Carolina being the pick to win the ACC and the favorite to win the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would be stunned if they don't add both of these positions. I know that the arrow is far from a given, and I'm not saying that he is, but I mean, they've got three scholarship spots open. I don't see a scenario where they're going to give two walk-on guys a scholarship. I said it the other day. With these three spots, I think one of them will go to a walk-on, and then you'll have the two that I think will go to somebody in the transfer portal. And I think they really want someone that can fill the shoes of Harrison Ingram. And, I mean, look, I know that there's a possibility that he comes back. I've had multiple people that have kept reiterating to me that he hasn't signed with an agent. So that means that there is a chance. They need to operate as if he is not coming back. Because if you don't, and he ends up, he chooses to stay in the NBA draft, and you're caught without somebody at that position, that could be the difference between you being a national title contender and not. I think, you know, Thierro, look, is he the same offensive player that Ingram is? No. But a lot of people like the shot. They think that it's progressing along nicely, and that, as you said, a second year will help him. He's a better defender than Ingram is. And that's saying a lot, man, because Ingram is a heck of a defender. But this dude is regarded as one of the better defenders in all of college basketball. And you would combine that with Seth Trimble and what he does defensively for you in your backcourt. I mean, that should get people really excited. And you're right. I know Pittsburgh, there's been rumors of how much NIL money they've offered. Carolina really turned up the heat. Like, the whole coaching staff was there. They cleared out the whole restaurant outside of, I guess, some waiter that's got a cell phone that wants to send the reports. I mean, again, we've said this. Kentucky fans are the craziest bunch of people this side of the nut house. I think that they are making a full push for him. And then the big men, to me, there's still other options. Like I said, the two guys that they're going after, Adu and Amori, I think Carolina's got a really good chance with both of those guys. But I also think that even if those don't, if those end up falling through, Onyensu, the big man from Kentucky, is still a guy that Carolina can get involved with. It's still very early for him. I know that Norchad Omir has a no contact clause or whatever it is when he entered the portal. But, I mean, the thing is usually when you do that, you've already committed somewhere. I haven't seen anything. I've seen no reports about who it could possibly be. So I don't know what's going on. And we've also seen guys that have entered with that, and quickly they drop that and they start talking to teams. So I think that's also a possibility for him. So that's a position where I think there are so many options that are out there for Carolina that I don't think you need – to be terrified. I think this staff's got their guys that they want. And I think, yeah, those are the two spots that they still have to add. And if they add guys at both of those positions, especially to me, if it's Thierro and then whatever big man it is, insert whoever you want, I think Carolina has a chance to be one of the top teams in the country. I would have said, and when we talked about it the other day, that they could possibly be the number one team in the country. I think there's a chance in the preseason they could be. But I'm going to tell you that after the other day, I think it was yesterday, or it might have been Friday, when Kansas landed Ryland Griffin, that they're going to be the number one team preseason, I think. So even if Carolina isn't, they'll be right up there, though, as one of those teams that can cut down the Nets at the end of the season.
Yeah, very good chance Carolina opens the season. As of right now, their season opener will be at Kansas the first Friday of the week. Very good chance it could be 1-2 mm-hmm. When those two teams tip off in Lawrence. Also want to reference – Carolina's all-out recruitment of Thierro. It's very reminiscent of what they did last year when they went to Dallas, Texas, the entire staff. And because they were in a battle with Kansas for Harrison Ingram, it got Ingram to Carolina. So,
stretch fours ain't easy, man. You got to go all out.
So, look, Pittsburgh might be offering more money. but Carolina could offer them more success. And if the Arrow is the type of guy that Huber Davis is recruiting, you feel like winning matters to him. And I think the history and the track record states for itself. Carolina is going to win more basketball games than Pittsburgh. They're going to play in more high-profile basketball games than Pittsburgh. It probably benefits you and your talent to just come on to Chapel Hill and be a part of what could be one of the better teams in college basketball next season. So that's our look at Cade Tyson being the first transfer portal commit to Carolina this offseason and how he impacts the future roster building going into next year. When we come back, some house cleaning notes on some transfer portal stuff before we get out of this edition of the podcast. But first, we're going to play you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEELTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Welcome back inside another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Josh and Anthony hanging out with you guys on a Sunday evening. Some closing transfer portal notes before we do get out of here. Earlier in the week, Carolina was a finalist for Andre Stojakovic, the Stanford transfer. He ultimately ends up picking California over both Carolina and Kentucky. When you look at that, and on the surface, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because Cal is not the program that either Carolina or Kentucky are, and they're going to have a really hard time adjusting to the ACC next season. But the fact that he chose Cal over both us and Kentucky, is that just a case of this is a kid that's grown up on the West Coast the majority of his life, committed to a West Coast school, coming out of high school, that he didn't feel comfortable moving to the East Coast, you know, over, you know, what, 2,000 miles away from home and just wanted to stay somewhere in a much more comfortable environment? And Carolina fans shouldn't read as much into a guy picking Cal over UNC.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, he's from Carmichael, California. That's where he went to high school. So, I mean, this is a guy that's just a California kid, man, and he wants to be close to his family. No one can really blame him for that. The other thing is that with Cade Tyson committing, that's probably the position that he was going to play. I did not look at him as a four. I know that he has some decent size, similar to his dad. I mean, he's 6'7". But really, I mean, it's a very similar. Same thing with Cade Tyson. Like, I did not look at him as a guy that was going to fit what Carolina needed there. So I think this makes a lot of sense for him. And, you know, I think, honestly, he looked at it as, you know, he's a guy that now, if going to Cal, he's going to be the guy. You know, at Stanford this past year, there was a case to be made that he was their best player. But, you know, they still have Maxime Renaud. They had a couple other guys that were on that roster that ended up transferring out. That was a pretty talented roster. Honestly, it's not the greatest look that Jerrod Haas was not able to win with that group. I mean, now at Cal, there's zero question he's their best player. And so he's a guy that's going to get to showcase how good he really is. And I think, you know, that's ultimately probably what he wants. Will it work out for him? I have no idea because, as you mentioned, I mean, Cal has been an absolute mess. I cannot remember the last time that basketball program has really been all that successful. But I don't think it's something where people should be butchering the kid for picking them over Carolina. I think it's just the opportunity wasn't probably there for him with Carolina unless Cade Tyson went elsewhere, went to Tennessee or wherever. And so that's probably the reason why he ends up making the commitment when he did.
Last thing, Clifford Amore, I think I said earlier he was on campus this weekend. He's going to be on campus next Thursday, so my apologies with that. The Rutgers transfer will be in Chapel Hill as Carolina continues their recruitment of a big man as they look to add one to the roster going into next season. So just wanted to get that clarified. I didn't want to be spreading misinformation. So with that, that is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Before we let you go, do encourage you to visit the website, heeltuckblog.com. Busy week, busy weekend on the site. We had you covered with the K Tyson news, the Andre Stojakovic news. You can go back and read both of those articles. The NFL draft has come and gone. We detailed about every Tar Heel that got drafted and every Tar Heel that signed as an undrafted free agent. Will be back on the Heel Tough Blog podcast tomorrow night talking about the guys that got drafted, their landing spots, and even the guys that signed as undrafted free agents. You'll want to tune in and check that out. Simply put, guys, we encourage you to visit our website every single day, heeltuckblog.com, for the latest and the best Carolina basketball, Tar Heel football coverage. Ask for the podcast. You guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball offseason. Well, with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.